We thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your presence, Lord. Lord, we thank you for who you are because of whose you are. Lord, I ask that you remove me of me and fill me with you. Hide me behind your cross, Lord. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, so the title of my lesson is Broken But Healed. God has a sense of humor. I had a different lesson wrote out. I talked to First Lady about it. And then on my way to work last week, he gave to me, that's not what I told you to give them. This is what you're going to give them. Let me speak through you so you can go forth and give the word for the people. So we will go to Psalms 34, 17 through 18. And it reads, the righteous cries out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in his spirit. So in 17, he's talking about when God's people cry out, whether you're in fear, in pain, confusion, or sorrow, he always hears the cries that we cry out to him. God never ignores our prayers. His deliverance may come in different ways at different times, but it is guaranteed. In 18, he says, God is near the brokenhearted. So whatever the brokenness that you are going through, always give it to God. Never give it to self, because he is the man and the only man that can heal the brokenhearted. God always draws especially close to those who are hurting. A broken heart refers to deep emotional pain, grief, loss, or disappointment. In those moments, God hears you, he is near you, and God is working the deliverance for you. Even through the trials, your brokenness does not push him away. It draws him closer. There are seasons when life leaves us in pieces, moments when the weight of loss, rejection, and disappointment feels too heavy to bear. Our hearts break beneath the pressure, and we wonder if we'll ever feel whole again. When I was in the world, I can only speak for me, I can't speak for everybody else, doing what I wanted to do on my timing and not God's, hell came fighting from different directions. Even though we're not supposed to question God, a lot of people that I was associated with in those moments that I knew that I shouldn't have been associated with, and he removed them from me. Even when he tells us to step away and we don't step away, he's going to go in, step in for you, and move them from your presence. But we still tend to ask why. Why do we lose the things, even the people that are close to us? And it doesn't always have to be losing them in death. The crowd that you run with are the friends that don't work for you, or that are not lifting up God's name with you. You have to remove yourself, because all of you has to go to him. But did you know that God does his most beautiful work in broken places while you're alone? He does not discard the shattered pieces. He gathers them. He touches the wounds, gently binding them, what's been torn apart, with his mercy and his love. In Psalms 147 and 3, NIV version, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. This verse is a tender moment, because not only does it show the most tender promises in the scripture, but it shows God just as a mighty king, but as a gentle healer as well. He is the ultimate healer of all. God sees the pain you don't say out loud. Seeking him for the healing is what makes us whole again. The healing won't always be instant, but it will always be certain. So it doesn't always come when we want it. Everything is on God's timing. When he speaks of the binding it up, it means he wraps it, tends to it, and protects it. God doesn't rush the healing, nor does he ignore your heart. He handles you with care and restores you piece by piece. When God heals, he doesn't just restore us to what we were. He makes us better, stronger, and more compassionate. The scars remain, but they tell a story not of defeat, but a story of deliverance. And then he gave me the potter's house and the potter's wheel, and it's been on me heavy, heavy, heavy. So he gave me eight steps of the ways that we go to as how the potter wants to restore us. So number one, he brings you back to the wheel before the healing begins and draws you close. So in Jeremiah 18 and 6, it says, can I not do with you, Israel, as the potter does, declares the Lord, like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in the hand of Israel. In that moment, God is saying, come back to him. Come back to him and let him do the work that he needs to do in you. Let him put you on that wheel and continuously to mold you in the image that he wants you to be in. You will start to feel a pull towards God. You will start to turn back to prayer. You will start to turn away from the things that broke you. You will get a fresh desire and be whole again. So that's our desire, is to be whole in God. Not partially. We can't give him a little bit and give him all, give ourselves all of us. Everything has to go to him. So number two, it says he examines the clay. The potter looks at the damaged, cracked, and weakened places. Whatever we don't give to him, he knows it all. So it's no secrets. It ain't no hiding places. Everything that we are going through, God knows it all. He knew it before we even went through it. But sometimes he puts us through those moments to test us to see where it is that we are going to go in him. He does not shame us, but in those moments, he goes through and he heals us. In Psalm 139 and 23, it says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." We should want God to search us daily. Not only should we want him to search us, but we should be searching him. Because even when we can't trace him, we still have to trust that he's going to do everything that he said he was going to do. All his promises are a yes and amen. When we are asking God to search us, we are asking him to reveal what hurt us. We are asking God to bring the truth to the surface, even to expose lies that we have believed. When asking God for all of this, we must be prepared for him to show us what root of the wounds was. So we have to be prepared for, I don't want to say the beating up, but what comes with it. We got to get to the root of the problem. Dig deep down inside and give it all to him. Like I said, you can't partially give it to him. You have to give it all to him. So whether it comes with the hurt, the heartache, whatever it is that we're going to, the ultimate goal is for him to heal us. And then number three, he breaks the clay down to remake it. In pottery, the potter crushes the clay gently, not to destroy it, but to reset the structure. Jeremiah 18 and 4, "But the pot was helping the clay was married in his hands, so the potter formed it in another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him." So, again, whatever it is that we are trying to do, God's going to take you from that pot and put it in his hands, in the pot that he wants to form you in, so that you are in the image of him. The clay becomes damaged while in the potter's hand. The mistakes, wounds, failures, and broken moments did not remove you from God's care, though. He begins to break old habits, whatever it is that you knew you wasn't supposed to be doing that was not of him. He ends the wrong relationships, whether it be marriage, boyfriend, girlfriend, friendship, what have you. Sometimes it could even be family. Your old identity falls away. You become a new you. You become who he wants you to be. A fresh new beginning starts. God never destroys. He always rebuilds. And then we go to number four. He adds water, Holy Spirit, and the word clay. Without the water cannot be shaped. In Ephesians 5 and 26, "To make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word." God's going to soften your heart. His word begins your healing and what you're thinking, so your thought process always goes through him. Your spirit becomes tender again, so the hard interior that sometimes when we are broken, we carry a outer layer that nothing is bothering us, but on the inside, we truly know that we are broken. All of us have been through a broken moment, and sometimes we tend to play the tough person, even though we are broken on the inside. But God still feels your presence, and he restores you. He reshapes you gently. He uses pressure, but it's controlled, loving pressure. In Isaiah 64 and 8, "Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." Isaiah is giving us the most tender and powerful image of God's relationship with us. Before anything, God always relates to us as he is our father. We are the clay, which means we are shapeable. we can bend, we can move in any direction that God is calling us to be, but we have to be dependent on him at all times. We are sensitive to touch. We are human. So sometimes we tend to get a little sensitive, but remember, he is the potter, and we are the clay, and he's going to form us in his image. So whether we're sensitive, and sometimes we do things, and we like, okay, God, this was not in my will, but in his will be done, not ours. The clay is transformed by his hands, but the clay is transformed by the hands that hold it. Clay cannot shape itself. It doesn't decide its own form. It yields from the potter's hands. So again, he's gonna put us on that wheel, constantly putting us on the wheel, even when we fall off and we go in a direction that we feel it is best for us. He's always going to bring us back to the potter's wheel. And if we got to go back to step one, we'll go back to step one. You just keep doing it. We'll just keep pushing forward to continue to be what it is that God has called us to be. It yields for the potter's hand. In other words, we don't create our image. We seek the hands of our Heavenly Father to continue to make and mold us. He strengthens you in the fire. Fire does not destroy the vessel. It strengthens it and sets it. In 1 Peter 1 and 7, it says, "These have come to the proven genuineness of your faith, or greater worth than gold, which perishes even through the refined even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ revealed," which means that the trials and suffering that the believers endure are ways for God to test and purify their faith, making it more valuable than gold. This testing proves that faith is genuine and strong, and the purpose is to ultimately bring praise, glory, and honor to God when Jesus Christ is revealed. The trials that refine you are tests that will soon mature you. So sometimes we start off as babes in Christ, but the more that we continue to allow God to pour into us, the more that we continue to get our word in and follow him daily, take up our cross daily and hide behind our cross and follow what it is that God is telling us to do, then the trials that once refined us will no longer be trials that become testimonies. You will go through hard seasons that will build your faith. You'll go through loneliness. A lot of us, we know what it feels like to, in quote unquote, be alone, but you're never alone. God is always with us. At no moment, even in the moments of the flesh that you feel like that you are alone, you always have somebody who is with you. You will feel the pressure that produces the endurance. So the endurance is you got to keep on pushing. Keep pushing towards it, to what it is that God is telling you to do. Keep pushing towards your work. Keep pressing towards your prayer life. Keep pushing. Number 7, he glazes you with the glory. After the firing, the potter adds finishing touches, beauty, shine, and color. In Psalms 90 and 17, "May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the works of our hands. The verse is a prayer asking God for blessings, guidance, and confirmation on one's endeavors. So I always go to God for confirmation. Like I said, I had a different lesson wrote out. I talked to First Lady about it, and I was riding down New Soca Road last week, and out of nowhere, I literally started to just weep, like, just crying, and to the point the people behind me were so mad, they was honking, and I was like, you know what, I can't even care no more, like, I'm going to keep crying, and I'm going to keep on driving. So I got to New Soca Road, got off the exit, and I was like, you know, God, just get me to my destination, and I'll just boo-hoo cry in the car. So I got to work, and I began to cry, because I'm like, I had the whole lesson written out, and he said, again, this is not what I told you to give them. This is what I need you to give them, and he literally kept giving me the potter's wheel, the potter's wheel, the potter's wheel, and I said, okay, whatever it is. So then I text Pastor Sonya, and I was like, you know what? I'm not even scared no more. I'm not scared. I'm excited about going forth and giving this word, because God has constantly been putting it on my heart, because many a times I fell off the potter's wheel. And, I mean, it took me a while to get to this moment, and I thank God for it all, because all the glory goes to him. So I've learned in my days, be obedient. Be obedient with what it is, because we are the vessels of him. So we have to go forth and give the word that God has given us to give. Not always what we want to give, even though when we feel like it's the right thing to give, he said, not right now, not in this moment. You'll give it to it in another time. Then Number eight, he uses the restored vessel. A potter never restores a vessel just to admire it. It is restored to be filled and poured into others. So he's going to pour into us so that we can go out and pour into the world, pour into the souls that are lost, pour into the souls that need to come to him. But we have to take it with what he has given us. Every time he's pouring into us, it's to make us stronger and make our walk more stronger. And we have to put on our armor of God so that when we go out, because sometimes when we go out and we try to give that word to other people, sometimes they don't want to receive what it is that God has given us to give to them. But you got to keep on pushing it through because, again, remember, God keeps putting you on that potter's wheel to bring you to this moment, to create you in this image. In 2 Timothy 2:21, those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purpose, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. In this verse, he's talking about with various vessels to explain how a person can be used by God by separating themselves from what is dishonorable and impure. Believers can become vessels of honor, set apart for a noble and purposeful life of service. So again, you have to remove yourself. God is using your story to help others. What was once your test will always become your testimony. New assignments and callings are on the way. Honestly, I would never thought I would be standing here, but this is an assignment that God has sent me forth to do. And I thank God for Pastor Sonya for believing in me to be able to stand forth and go forth and give the word. Greater spiritual authority is coming. You will have a life that glorifies him. So always remember, you have to, one, draw back. He draws you back to him. He examines your broken places. He breaks down what is damaged. He softens you with the word of the Spirit. He shapes you into his design. He strengthens you through the trials. He beautifies you with his presence. His presence should always be welcome. He always, always, always is going to use you for his purpose. So today, stand tall, not because you've never been broken, but because you have been healed. I am a living proof, and so are you, that God restores, renews, and redeems. And then I found a poem that it said, it's called Broken But Healed. Once I was shattered, pieces everywhere, heart full of sorrow, lost in despair. But in the silence, soft and concealed, God whispered gently, you are healed. He gathers fragments, tender and kind, mending the places pain left behind. Each scar a story, each crack revealed, the beauty of mercy, broken but healed. The tears that once fell watered the ground, where faith took root and grace was found. What once was ruined now stands restored, a vessel of love reshaped by the Lord. So if you are broken, don't lose heart. God does his best work where we fall apart. His hands can make what pain conceal, a life and redeem forever, not broken but healed. That's pretty much all I have. Any questions, comments?